Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weigh In Sports Talk. Today is Wednesday, November 7th. Before we get started, here are a few reminders. We would love to hear from you, and here are several ways to weigh in. Call us at 646-716-5564, or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, or follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. Now here's your host, Brian Tarvin, and co-host, Trey Patterson. Let's weigh in.
All right, thanks, Michelle, for the intro, and I have a message out there to Chris Smelly, Jonathan Miklos, Trey Patterson, whoever out there wants to hear this.
To be the man! You've got to be the man!
And Trey, how are you, sir?
I feel like you just called me out, Tarvin, right on the top of the show. Less than good now because it's being called out. First part of the show, how are you going to call me out, Tarvin?
Well, you know, I finally went to pick him, so I have to brag a little bit. So Jonathan was in the chat room, and I saw, you know, it came down to the Saints and the Eagles game. So if the Saints won, I won. If the Eagles won, he won. So I had to rub a little salt in the wound. So I don't get to do it much. So when I get the opportunity, you know I'm going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you know, got to give props out to Joshua Shaw. He tied the host, but as we know, tie goes to the host. So, you know, Joshua Shaw has been on fire lately, too. We got to watch out for old Joshua as well.
Yeah, Joshua, people don't remember, went 15-0, and then he went also 14-1, and now 13-2, I think, maybe his worst week besides one other one I'm thinking about. But, yeah, he knows how to pick the games, and a lot of people do, but last week's games were a little more difficult. I got lucky on a couple of them just to swing it my way, but it was a tough 10 games on college and 5 on the pro. But like Chris Smelly says, every dog has his day.
Yeah, and, you know, we want to also bring up the fact that, you know, Brian Burgess and Quinn, if you're listening, you know, give us a call tonight. We want to get you guys on the air since we didn't have a chance to get you on last week after your victory. We definitely want to get you on to talk about your bragging rights and, you know, maybe give us a little picks this week as well. Yeah, so I want to give those guys props for winning last week as well. And we had an action-packed show last week, so we didn't get to them, but definitely want to give them props this week.
Well, Trey, Chris Smelly says that the tie should go to the listeners. I do not agree with that.
No. Yeah, I mean, Smelly, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you gotta beat the host. I mean, ties, come on. You know, we want to start putting out tiebreakers out there, and we get math, and nobody likes to do math on college shows, so, you know, in sports shows, and it doesn't add up.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to keep it like it is. That way it gives us a higher percentage to win, Smelly. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know. You have to be the man. It didn't say you have to tie the man. It says you have to beat the man. So we're going to keep it in Ric Flair's words here. I like his rules better. But welcome everyone to tonight's show. Wednesday night's one of our favorite shows. We have two a week, but Wednesday night seems to be, you know, the most exciting one because it's the preview and work week's almost over. So welcome in the chat room. People are starting to pile in. Bruce Cowart, Chris Alderson, Chris Smelly. We have a guest, 13909, the usuals, Humphrey, Jason Minson, Jonathan Miklos, Lacey Keys, Sonia Minson. So everybody keep piling in here. We're going to have a good show tonight. We have our top 10 college games, and we're going to talk about some other games as well. We have our top 5 NFL games, and we'd love for you guys during the games to ask questions or call in, give us your opinion, give us your game of the week if it didn't make our list. And so, Trey, it was an exciting week last week, and I want to start off with, did you hear about the old Texas coach dying today?
Yeah, I saw that on the news this morning. Obviously, if you're a Texas fan, I know one of our listeners, Chris, he's a big Texas guy. You know, got to have a heavy heart for that, for Texas Longhorn Nation. I'm not a great coach, for sure.
Yeah, a very great coach, and he died at 88 years old, I believe, Darryl Royal. I heard he won 2 national championships, but I also saw he won 3 national championships back in the 60s. I think he ran that wishbone offense, and Chris Haley put in the chat room earlier or on the message board that Texas is going to line up in the wishbone, I believe, for his first play on Saturday, so that's classy.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, his third national championship was one of the ties, the split national championship, but, I mean, this guy, the wishbone, is something that he kind of created. I mean, this was kind of his thing. He added new wrinkles, and, you know, this guy was a before his time, you know, winning national championships and really developing an offensive scheme that is still used today. So, I mean, this is a guy who a lot of people in Texas, really loved and was a very beloved figure throughout all of college sports, really.
Well, you look at it, and, you know, when people die, you want to leave a legacy behind, something like he did. You know, 88 years old, that's a long life. Wish it could have been longer, and I know a lot of Texas fans and his family wish it could be. But, I mean, 88 years of his life, he left a legacy behind, and that's what all of us want to do. That's what we're put here on earth to do. So, our condolences to his family and all the Texas Nation. We're sorry for your loss, and I know a lot of Texas fans are upset today just from reading the posts and everything. So we will keep everybody in our prayers. But that was some big news today. That was the biggest news of the day in sports. But also, Trey, in the Champions Bowl, the Big 12 versus SEC in 2014, they announced that it's going to be in New Orleans. So what a venue. New Orleans, that's a fun place to be for a football game. And are you surprised at the location?
Well, I mean, New Orleans is a great place for a bowl game. I mean, it's probably a little further south than I think the Big Ten would like to go for traveling. But, you know, you go to where the best venue is. Or the Big 12, sorry.
Yeah, but also what's interesting is they're paying just as much money for this bowl as the Rose Bowl or any other. So this is a big bowl for people. And you know, the Rose Bowl, they pay a lot of money, but this bowl is so big, they're going to match it. So it's trying to make a statement. And looking at this year, you know, you see Alabama out there and you see Kansas State. That could be a preview of what's to come. Big 12 getting strong. SEC's trying to rebuild. They're top heavy right now. So in the years to come, this could be the biggest bowl of them all besides the championship.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be, obviously has the makings for a very interesting game, for sure, year in and year out.
Yeah, and we want to send get well wishes to Lacey Key. She joined us tonight, Trey, even though she's very sick. So that's a loyal supporter there, and thank you very much for joining us.
Well, I mean, you know, the best way to get well is to listen to you and I speak about things that we know everyone's going to critique us for. So,
it made me worse when I was sick hearing you, Trey. I had to go take some Theraflu and lay down. So,
there you go.
Lacey, get better. And Lacey says, thank you, Trey and me. So, everybody, let's get started. And 13-2 was my record last week. Trey, you were what, 12-3?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Mm.
Quinn, he was crying earlier. He didn't win. So, Monday Night Football, real quick, before we hit our top NFL games. Saints, really, and the Eagles, it was a must-win for both. So, looking at this game, Trey, are the Eagles – is the season over for the Eagles, first of all?
Well, I mean, we're going to see this week. I mean, here's the thing for the Eagles. I mean, I thought as much criticism as Michael Vick – had going into that game that he actually played admirably. I mean, this guy was just staying in the pocket until the very last minute, just getting just killed at the quarterback position. But I think really what is the most of the hot seat has got to be Andy Reid. I mean, still not using, I think, LeSean McCoy. I mean, LeSean McCoy had an enormous amount of yards in the first half, and you look at his carries in the second half, and they totally went away from him in that game. And you just got to wonder, you know, about the Eagles' play style. I mean, you kind of – it's really predictable. They're going to drop – you know, if they can't run McCoy or they're not committed to the run, they're going to be very easy because, I mean, the offensive line is just basically matadoring defensive ends right to Michael Vick. So, you know, if they can't run the football or they don't commit themselves to running the football, the Eagles are not going to win very many games the rest of the way. But, you know, the overhyped bowl comes this week, and we'll talk about the Eagles game this week, this weekend. So we'll see.
Yep, I was impressed with the Saints being at home, but what it looks like to me with the Eagles, it's a team, like I said last time, it looks like it's quit on Michael Vick, and it's quit on Andy Reid, a team that's been through a lot, fired a defensive coordinator, and I'm just really wondering how the Eagles are going to respond the rest of the season in order to really save Andy Reid's job. Andy Reid, when you think of Philadelphia, you think of Andy Reid. I couldn't imagine him, Trey, not being the coach there, but if something doesn't happen and happen quickly and at least make a playoff push, he's not going to be here next year. And it makes me wonder about the future of Michael Vick and this whole entire Eagles staff. Just looks like a team that's quit to me. Do you see that?
Well, yeah, you certainly see indications of that, you know, with some of Vick's comments throughout the week leading up, like, you know, didn't seem to care if he got benched or not. You know, I think it wears on a quarterback when you hit as much as Michael Vick is. But at the same point, you know, they're going to play the Dallas Cowboys this week, and we're going to see which team really wants it. The Cowboys have been playing very tough opponents and playing a lot of people very close, where the Eagles just seem to be all over the place. So I think if the Eagles were to rally this week, you're going to see a different mindset, maybe which team might make a move towards making a playoff push. So this bowl is, you know, I call it the overhyped bowl. It's going to be very big for both Jason Garrett and Andy Reid.
Well, I really have a lot of respect for Andy Reid, and we're not going to spend much time on this. I think he's a phenomenal football coach. I really respect him. He's been through hell, you know, with the loss of his son. And it's just been so much, I mean, to go through. And he's still out there, you know, just still out there grinding it out, trying to win some football games. So, Andy Reid, if you're looking for a job, Auburn will have an opening very soon. So, if you'd like to come on down to college, we'll welcome him, Trey.
Well, I think Andy Reid could be phenomenal in college. I think he'll probably have a shot at getting a pro job. But, you know, you're right, man. Andy Reid would be phenomenal on a college level.
I mean, I would take him right now. So, come on, Andy. We'll take you. You need a change of scenery. You need to get out from up north and come on down south. But, Trey, you picked some tough games this weekend, and we're about to get into our top five games. There's some tough games you picked. There's some that I look at that, you know, I wonder why, but – you know, there's some tough games you picked, and let's see who can beat us this week, because I have a feeling, honestly, I might go undefeated again in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, looking at our first game, Tarvin, this is obviously some of the games this week are very big. Some of these opponents are playing for basically, you know, who's going to be teetering towards the playoffs and who's going to go the opposite way. And our first game is exactly that. It's the 4-4 Lions are traveling to the Vikings, and you know, Tarvin, I mean, the winner of this game, I mean, really matters, because this division, I mean, the Lions are at the bottom at 4-4. I mean, this is a very competitive division, so this could be one of those games that sort of helps one of these teams sort of go the right way.
Yep, and it's a big game, and Jason Minson in the chat room is a huge Vikings fan, and I know he's going to be mad when I pull Detroit out of the hat. I think, you know, Detroit, this is a must-win for them. They have to start winning these conference games, division games, in order to get back in if they're going to even be a wild card. They're not going to catch Chicago. We know that. But Percy Harvin being out, it takes a lot away from that offense that people don't realize. I look for Detroit on the road to actually play great defense and to win this game by defense, not offense.
Well, I mean, obviously Detroit's been playing better of late. I mean, Stafford – has been reconnecting with you know, Calvin Johnson, and that's a big part of their offense. And LeSure had 3 touchdowns last week, so that's something that they need really to have a running attack, because, you know, if they're just dropping, you know, Stafford back, it's certainly become a lot easier to defend. But, you know, when I look at this game, you know, the Vikings are 4-1 at home, and, you know, of their 5 wins, you know, most of them have come at home. But one of the things, and Jason may want to call in and, you know, give us some education about, is, you know, coming into the season, I said that I doubted Christian Ponder as an NFL quarterback, and then he played really well, and then for a few games. Well, Tarvin, he's played very poorly lately, and if you look at his stats, I mean, I got to question him again. So, you know, Jason, I don't know if you want to answer that call, but I really doubt the Vikings in this game because of that. So I'm going to take the Lions on the road as well.
All right, we're going to bring in the expert for Minnesota Vikings, Jason Minson. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Hey, Jason. I'm good. Trey, I'll answer your question. I mean, I don't know, maybe call it the sophomore blues, but he didn't really have a fantastic freshman year. I don't know. I'm hearing kind of rumbles that if he doesn't, like, pick it up, that he's going to be gone after the year.
Yeah. I think that could be very well.
They're not going to waste time on him. So, I couldn't argue with that. I mean, we're predominantly the Vikings have always enjoyed good quarterbacks, even though you know they're always washed up. I don't know. I think he has a good game this week. You know, I don't have a lot of faith in Detroit right now. So. I don't know. And, you know, like I said, we're talking Matthew Stafford. You know, you want to talk inconsistent. I mean, who knows? If Jared Allen gets to him, it's over. So, I mean, if they can protect him, I don't know. Could go either way.
So, Jason, are you taking your Vikings at home this week?
Yeah, I'm a homer.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm always a homer. I'm always going to take my Vikes.
How big is the Percy Harvin injury gonna play? And I mean, he seems to be Ponder's only real security blanket. So how is that gonna affect the limited stats he's been able to put up so far?
He'll end up playing all game, mark my words. He'll play.
And Jason, Adrian Peterson's been playing lights out of late. I mean, this is the Adrian Peterson of old. What has happened with him? Why the resurgence?
At the beginning of the year, they had like a preview of, you know, his comeback. I mean, the guy is just determined, you know, and he said his first question was his first cut, how his knee would help hold up, and it felt fine. And, you know, he said he's not trying to be 100%, he's trying to be 110%. So he's laying it all out there. I bow to him. He's having a great year, you know, but you got to have quarterback play. I mean, especially in the North Division, you know, I honestly thought the only two teams that were going to give us problems this year were Chicago and Green Bay. We're going to get our ass handed to us by Chicago. But
everybody is right now.
But, you know, when we lose to Tampa Bay, please shoot me. So, I mean, it's one of those inconsistent years. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like a cross between fresh blood and old blood. They don't have anyone in the middle. So you're going to see probably after this year a lot of the old veterans gone, and we're just going to suck for the next 3 years. So,
yeah, you guys will be fine.
Well, I've been through the cycle, so I know, you know, we always go through this. So I'm going to cross my fingers, and he's going to have a good day, Ponder.
Yeah.
I won't hold my breath. I mean, it is Detroit. It is Minnesota, so.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one, and we're going to keep a close eye on that one. Hopefully that will be on TV this week. But, Jason, man, thanks for the insight, buddy.
All right, man.
All right. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.
All right, man.
All right. Well, Jason's a homer, and you have to be. I mean, it's not a stretch picking the Vikings, Trey, to win this game. But, you know, Matthew Stafford, you know, and the Calvin Johnson could go off in this game. I'm going to pick Detroit. Are you picking Detroit?
Yeah, I think it's a real tough call because of how well the Vikings have played at home. But, you know, you look at Ponder, and I know I think Sonia said it was, you know, recently, but let's look at Ponder. And I question the way he's been able to play recently. And, you know, I'm not so secure in Harvin playing at 100% or even playing in this game. So we'll have to see, Harvin. I just think with all that going on, it's hard to back Ponder, even though they play well at home. But I think, you know, somebody in the chat room said something about Jared Allen, and I think Jared Allen will probably get a sack or two in this game for sure.
Yeah, Jared Allen is a man amongst boys. So he's a you know, a ball hawk. He knows how to find that quarterback. So we're picking Detroit. Who's the chat room picking? Jason's picking Minnesota. I'm not seeing a lot of picks, but I'm sure they'll get going here in a minute. So Sonia says Vikes too. Surprise, surprise. You have to, Sonia, to keep the peace in the house. So go ahead, Trey, and take us to number four, which I think we'll get a lot of comments about.
Yeah, just looking at the chat room right before we get there, we got Tino Vikings, Joshua Shaw Vikings, Lacey Key Vikings, Melly Vikings, Jason Humphrey Vikings. So we're out on a limb there. We're out on a limb. No, I think Jonathan Miklos says Detroit. So at least we got one other person back in the starving. We may make up a pretty big game with our prediction on that one.
Good job, Jonathan. Great job, man.
Our next game is another good division matchup. The Falcons in the NFC are, of course, 8-0. And they're traveling to the Saints, who just right now have been pretty hot, Carvin. So what do you think about this matchup in New Orleans?
Wow, this is a chance for me to probably gain some ground on some people in this. You know, the Saints-Falcons, probably, you know, one of the top five rivals in the NFL that I see. I mean, it's a huge series. Saints and Falcons play. It's usually high scoring, and it seems like the road team does better. Looking at it, Drew Brees, it's time for the Falcons to lose, and I think it would honestly be good for them to lose the game because, I mean, they've been playing perfect football. They played us a little sloppy, was it Sunday night? Just looked a little sloppy, got past the struggling Dallas Cowboys. I think we're about to see the Saints, you know, pick up a game on the Falcons. I look for Drew Brees to have a big game, and I think the crowd will really help the Saints in this game. Look for Atlanta to finally play human. Drop a game, Saints win, big at home. Not a blowout, but just a big game at home.
Looking at the chat room, looks like Joshua Shaw says Saints will end the perfection for the Falcons. Humphrey says Atlanta. Jason Menson's going with the Dirty Bird, so it's Smelly. Jonathan Miklos says Atlanta. So a lot of Lacey Keith is the Saints, Sonia says Falcons, all over the place for this one, Tarvin.
Well, Trey, you see Joshua Shaw pick the Saints. I mean, how do you pick against Joshua Shaw right now?
Well, that's actually not a bad point, and Joshua's been pretty hot. But I'll tell you, I keep predicting the Falcons to lose. If you listen to our show and you actually keep up with what I do, every week I say it's the week they're going to lose, and every week I've been wrong. So if you can't beat them, join them, Tarvin. And I'm going to keep the Falcons on the road. I'm still not secure in what New Orleans is doing this year. They've been hot recently. They've, you know, playing a lot much better football. But I can't pick them even though they're at home this week against the Falcons. Every time I watch the Falcons, I'm very impressed. So I feel like the Falcons are going to be able to shut Breeze down a little bit.
I'm with you. I mean, the Falcons, they look great every week. And someone said in the chat room, the Saints have the worst defense ever. They do. I mean, they're terrible. They're averaging, giving up about 30 points a game. And that's a lot of points, especially when you're only scoring 27. So looking at it, you know, their home record is 2-2. So I don't look for the Saints to really have a losing record at home. You know, the Falcons, of course, 4-0 on the road. The division record, 1-1 for the Saints. But I just like Drew Brees in this game. Matt Ryan is playing this year better than Drew Brees. And that's surprising, very shocking. Matt Ryan, you know, when he plays these big quarterbacks, it looks like he's rising to the occasion, but I still have to go with Drew Brees in this game. I mean, this is a must-win. Every game the Saints play almost now is a must-win. They have some confidence, some momentum. I like Drew Brees in this game, Trey. That's the difference, mate.
Yeah, I mean, this is this game, and you see in our chat room, and people were picking both teams. I mean, the games this week, these division rivalries are tough to predict because, I mean, you know, the Saints are 3-5, but you know, they've been playing better football, but the real problem here, and I think what's going to be the key to this game is that, you know, the Saints are giving up way too many yards on the ground. And can the Falcons and Michael Turner do what everybody else has been doing against the Saints, which is rushing for well over 100 yards and, you know, some people over 200 yards against the Saints. So, you know, I think the Falcons are going to come in, pound the ball with Turner, and get up early. So that's what I think the Falcons will win this game.
Okay, not a bad pick. I mean, I can't really disagree. I think the Falcons are like 3-point favorites on the road, which, you know, usually the Saints are favored 3 or 4, but this is a different year. Matt Ryan is probably the MVP of the league right now, the way he's playing. And if he he takes his team and wins the division, keeps playing like he's playing, Trey, I see no reason why he can't win it.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a strong candidate right now.
All right, man, another great game on deck. Take us there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, next one is, by the way, Tanya gave me a cookie in the chat room, so I really appreciate that, Tanya. I really like cookies, so I hope that that's just not a comment, because I do like cookies. Our next game is what I was calling the overhyped bowl, Tarvin. We got the Cowboys, who always come in with playoff hype, and then the Eagles came in this year, you know, as saying they were going to be in the Super Bowl-type contention. Both teams sit at 3-5, and this is a very important division game because the Giants just lost. So they're 6-3, so this is a chance to kind of climb back up towards the Giants in this division.
Yeah, and poor Eagles, you know, they're going to lose again, Trey. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, when they have to, you know, they can play defense, especially with their defensive line. I think they beat up Michael Vick. I think they get after him, pressure him a lot. I think if the Cowboys jump on him early, you know, I think – you know, looking at it early, they have to get on him early. I think they'll quit. You know, a team that quit, really, if you knock them out early, they're just going to fall over. They're not going to fight back. So look for Dallas and Romo to come out, score some quick touchdowns, take some shots down the field to kind of try to end this game early, just to throw that punch. So Romo's going to be aggressive. I think he has a good day against that Eagles defense. Heck, I would have a good day against the Eagles defense. So I'm going to pick Tony Romo just because of what I said earlier, Trey. They've quit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I picked the Cowboys last week, and they actually played pretty well. If you're looking at the Cowboys and you're disappointed in the record, I mean, I think the last four opponents they faced have all have six wins. So, I mean, the Cowboys have played a pretty tough schedule to this point. And, you know, they're obviously not doing as well as they would like, but the fact is they have played pretty good competition. So, I agree with you. I like where the Cowboys are going, at least on offense. They're running the football. And, you know, Romo is turning the ball over way too much. That's the problem with the Cowboys' offense. So if Romo cannot turn the ball over, the Cowboys are going to win this game. I'm going to pick the Cowboys, Tarvin, because I just like the fact that Dallas at least has a balanced attack. I don't like how the Eagles are using McCoy at all. I mean, with such a talented running back, and they don't seem to rely on him like they should. So for those reasons, I'm going with the Cowboys in this game on the road.
Well, I know Janine's trying to get in the chat room right now. Janine, thanks for listening to the show. You can't get into the chat room with your iPhone. That's a negative, so you'll have to get on a laptop to get in. She's wanting to join all of this fun conversation we're having here, but thanks for listening. Her and Troy are listening in from Louisiana. She really likes our Saints pick, by the way. So Trey, Tony Romo is probably – you know, the most inconsistent quarterback that I'm seeing out there. It's just like he's up, down, just like Michael Vick. But one thing about Tony Romo, he's a competitor as well, and I think he has, you know, more of a team around him right now that'll fight for him. And that's the difference in this game. I don't think the Eagles are that much, you know, worse than the Cowboys by no means. But I just think the difference is the talent of Dallas. There's no reason, Trey, that Dallas almost shouldn't win every game they play with the talent that they have on that team. Something's wrong. And I think, you know, one thing we can look at in this is Sean Payton could be the Dallas Cowboys' new head coach. What do you think about that?
Well, I think I was all about giving Jason Garrett a lot of room. I think that room is closed, to be honest. I mean, you have to be at some point saying that is enough. I mean, Jason Garrett has hit sort of the end of the rope. I think he's coached about as much as he's going to be able to coach this team. I mean, Sean Payton would be a huge steal for the Cowboys from the Saints. I know that Payton is very close with the Saints ownership, so I'm not sure that the rumor mill is true because of the relationship that Sean Payton has with the ownership of the Saints. But I'll tell you, if it does happen, I mean, that changes the game completely for the Cowboys. I mean, Sean Payton is a much better evaluator of talent and a much better, I think, coach than Jason Garrett is.
So what do you think about the defense of the Dallas Cowboys with Rex Ryan's little brother as the coordinator? What do you think of him?
I think he's a pretty good coordinator. I mean, I like some of the talent he's brought in at the defense. I still don't think they're playing to the level they should be. I mean, their defensive secondary should be a lot better than they actually are. But I do think that their defense can be very good at times. I mean, DeMarcus Ware is obviously a game changer. I mean, obviously, they lost Lee, and that was a huge injury for the Cowboys on defense. I don't think people understand how valuable he was. But, you know, anytime you lose a guy like that, you're going to struggle a little bit. But the Cowboys still have some room to improve on defense as well. But I think Ryan does a pretty good job.
Hey, Trey, Sonia in the chat room is saying that she's hearing some echo background noise, trying hard to hear you. Is there anything going on? I can hear you fine. Everybody in the chat room, let us know if you're having trouble hearing us. But I think he needs to be gone, too. I think Ryan, he's intimidating to a lot. I mean, he's pumped up about the games and everything. But at the end of the day, I just think he's a little too out of control to really, you know, keep it cool in a big game. So I'm not very impressed with him. It's what he's done. But I've never been impressed with Jason Garrett. I've always said that job's too big for him. But as long as Jerry Jones is there, I mean, they're always going to have trouble at head coach because not many people, Trey, want to play, you know, coach for him and work for him. Jimmy Johnson almost killed the guy. And, you know, Jimmy Johnson was one of the great coaches that I've ever watched. So it's just hard to work with a guy with that kind of ego and that kind of control. And I think you said something last week, Trey, about answering questions. Jerry Jones was answering the questions to the media the head coach should be talking about, like injuries and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones is clearly a more involved owner than I think a lot of coaches would like. There's no doubt about that. But one of the things that you mentioned, you know, when Jerry Jones had Jimmy Johnson as the coach, it was Jimmy Johnson who put together that team and not Jerry Jones. And I think a lot of people thought it was the other way around. But Jimmy Johnson was the kind of guy who would stand up to Jerry Jones and say, look, this is the way I want things. And eventually that obviously led to Jimmy Johnson being gone from Dallas because eventually Jerry Jones, you know, wanted his way. Jason Garrett to me doesn't seem like the kind of guy who, you know, wins a lot of these battles between Jerry Jones on personnel decisions.
Yeah, and Trey, Tino wants you to reach back and pull that door to the payphone door, pull it too, so we can hear you better.
I think Tino is always thinking that someone's in the bathroom.
All right, man. So who are you picking in this one?
I'm going to go with Dallas.
Okay, I want to make sure you're saying that. So I'm Dallas, too. So it looks like we're agreeing on everything but one so far. So everybody in the chat room, you know, I don't see really anything. So Trey, take us to number two real quick.
Yeah, going into our next game, it's, again, another good battle. The Chargers are at 4-4, and the Buccaneers at 4-4.
Man, I have a question. Why did you choose this game? What stood out to you when you were looking at this game?
Well, I mean, both of these teams right now, Tarvin, are playoff contention-type teams. I mean, I know we got some Buccaneer hate from Jason earlier, but the Buccaneers, their offense has been outstanding. You have the what are they calling Doug Martin, the strong hamster or something? I can't remember his nickname, but this guy is just blowing up the world, and people were locked into the rookie of the year and saying it's going to be one of the quarterbacks. But it's clear that Doug Martin is on this kind of stage. We've seen a lot of progression in the quarterback play in the Buccaneers, and basically their defense has played a little bit better. And you know, you have the San Diego Chargers are at 4-4. Only a game back from playoff contention as well. So to me, this strikes me as a game that one of these teams can win and get themselves, you know, towards that playoff berth.
Yeah, but let me tell you something about San Diego. You know, they're fourth in the NFL in rush defense, giving up about, 90 yards a game, maybe a little less. So that could be big. But the key to me is Russell Martin playing at home. I'm talking about Doug Martin, I'm sorry. I was thinking of Russell Wilson for a second. But looking at it, they're at home now, Trey, and I think that's where they play their best football. So having a home crowd behind them, San Diego's taking a long trip from the West Coast. And I think, you know, the inconsistency of San Diego I've seen this year. I like their defense, but I just don't like their offense. I don't like San Diego coming in and scoring on Tampa. Even though Tampa doesn't have a great defense, I think at home it'll be better. I think Phillip Rivers throws two interceptions and they get a fumble somewhere, and I think the Bucs win by about 10 points in this game.
Yeah, I'm actually going to pick the Bucs as well. One of the reasons is the San Diego Chargers have a lot of surrounding them and the head coach as well. They're 2-2 on the road. They're actually 0-2 against the NFC, so they haven't played very well when they leave the NFC. The Buccaneers have won 2 in a row. They're 2-2 at home as well, but they're 2-0 against the AFC. So it seems like the Bucks are a team that's on the right direction. I love the play of Joshua Freeman. Doug Martin is certainly playing at a very high level. One of the guys in the chat room mentioned that this is Vincent Jackson's sort of homecoming. So I like the Buccaneers. I like their offense. I like what they're doing. So, I really think that the Buccaneers are going to win this game. I think it'll be close, Tarvin, but you're right. I think Phillip Rivers may turn the ball over in the second half, and that may be the difference here.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers, he's known to choke, especially on the road. And there's just something about that team. I mean, they have talent. They should win a lot more ball games. I remember last year, Trey, they were favored in most every game they played, but they would choke. So that shows you Vegas had a lot of respect for the talent. Any given week, they could come in and beat you. So that's one thing that I looked at last year. This year, I think they're starting not to believe in themselves just like last year. So I like Tampa at home. And I know, like you said, Jason kind of, spoke bad of Tampa, but they're an up-and-coming team. Greg Schiano is a great football coach. It looks like he knows what he's doing in Tampa.
Yeah, and that's another thing about Schiano has, I think a lot of people thought, that he wouldn't have success in the pros. I mean, this guy is really coaching a team that, I think a lot of people are very surprised at how well the Buccaneers were even doing at 4-4 and didn't expect them to be competitive at all this year. But Greg Schiano is really turning out to be a really good football coach in the NFL.
Yep, and I really didn't think he would. And he still has to keep going to prove it. So to everybody in the chat room, what do y'all think about Greg Schiano? Do you think he's a for real coach on the, on the up and up, or do you think it's too early to tell? I think he's doing a great job, but I still think it's too early to tell what he can do. So, Trey, you're picking Tampa. I'm picking Tampa. Well, I might have to get you to pick first so you can't copy my picks.
Well, Jonathan Miklos brought up a very interesting point. It says Tampa has lost their four games by 7, 6, 2, and 7. So Tampa is playing very good football this year, even when they lose. So that's one of the things to consider. And I really look at what Shiano's done with Josh Freeman and how he's been able to come back around to the talent some people thought that he had at Kansas State. And obviously the drafting of Doug Martin. I think a lot of people will question that decision, and look how good that's looking now. I remember a lot of people in the SEC chat room saying that Doug Martin couldn't run in the SEC, and this guy was basically, a Boise product and wasn't very good. Well, he turns out, Parvin, this kid's pretty good and can run on anybody.
Yep, they have talent. I mean, Boise, recruits well. They have a couple of players here and there that can play, big boy football. So he's one of them that I remember, I think it was you or Chris, during the draft, circled him as a player you needed to watch. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Chris. But that was a good pick, whoever did it. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could see the number one game. I'm sure Quinn's excited to hear about this.
This game is pretty epic. I mean, the Texans 7-1 are going on the road against the Bears, who are 7-1. I mean, this is some people's Super Bowl pick, Tarvin. I mean, like the Super Bowl in October, or November. So, what do you think? I mean, is this really legitimately a Super Bowl possible outcome here?
I don't think the Bears are possibly going to make it. And just in my opinion, just watching it, I like Houston in the AFC to possibly make it, as long as they can keep their home field advantage. But, I mean, what a game. Sunday night football in Chicago. Chicago is a one-point favorite, over under 41. So what Vegas is trying to do is tell you it's going to be a defensive game in ways, to me, when I look at it. Man, I just think Houston has too many weapons. Even being on the road, Chicago has a great defense. They're very opportunistic, Trey, just watching them play. But I think Houston has a good enough running game and a good enough passing game to kind of offset that defense. I don't think they turn the ball over a lot. And that's one thing that sparks this Chicago team, Trey, is these block punts, these kick returns, just the turnovers that spark. I'm not very impressed with Chicago's offense. I'm glad they've got a couple of big receivers, but I just don't think I'm impressed with their offensive line yet. I just don't think they're ready to beat Houston. So I'm going to pick Houston just because I like their offense a lot better.
I mean, this game is going to be one in the trenches. I mean, you look at the rushing offense for the Bears is 11th, and the rushing defense for the Texans is fourth. Second, and the Texans are fourth against the pass. I mean, this is a defense that is legitimately top tier. I mean, they're fourth and second. Of course, the Bears are very good against the run, too, at sixth. So you know, can Arian Foster or Matt Forte, who's the guy who's going to have the game that makes the outcome? You know, if you're looking at the defensive side, I mean, which defensive player is going to cause the biggest impact? I mean, you have Charles Tillman, who may have the birth of his child, who may miss the game because of that. How big of an impact does Tillman being out affect the Bears' defense? You know, who makes the bigger impact? Is it going to be, you know, Peppers, or is it going to be J.J. Watt? There's a lot of questions in this game, a lot of big players, Tarvin, and I just think that when you're looking at the Bears, and the biggest question I have, even though they're at home, is definitely on the offensive line, especially the matchup with J.J. Watt. So, I mean, because of that, Tarvin, I think Watts is a big day. I think the Texans win a very close game on the road.
Yeah, and one thing about the Texans, too, you know, their offense is good and balanced, but their defense is very good, too, and I like it. I mean, if Texans didn't have a good defense, I wouldn't like them going on the road. But anytime you can play defense, you know, you have a shot. But also, if you can score, it really helps. So, you know, the Texans will get it done on the road. Tino is picking the Texans as well. And just looking in the chat room, trying to see, it looks probably like everybody will be about even on this one. I think, you know, it'll split. So I like the Texans. You like the Texans, Trey. Tino likes the Texans. So I feel bad that everybody's like, you're picking the Texans and I am too. I don't like when we agree too much.
I know. You look at the chat room, I'm seeing, you know, Tillman had four forced fumbles last week. So, you know, again, if he misses a game, that's going to be a pretty big thing.
Yeah, that Titans game was over before it started. And guess who's on the line, Trey?
I hope it's Quinn.
Yeah,
Quinn, what's up, buddy?
No, I just wanted to kind of talk about this game. It's gonna be a huge game. Tillman's not for sure out yet. It's if his wife goes into labor, then he's gonna miss the game. But yeah, I agree. I think it's gonna be really close, and it's gonna be one in the trenches. It should be a really good smash mouth football game. I think it's going to be a pretty low scoring game too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a defensive game. I just wonder how that offensive line for Cutler is going to block, Quinn.
Yeah, the Bears are going to. I think since the Bears can force a lot of turnovers, and ever since Lovie has gotten in Chicago, they have always forced a lot of turnovers. I think it could come down to that. If the Bears can get a key turnover or get a turnover that can cause momentum change, I think that'll be a good thing. And though that Bears defense, they'll let you drive down the field and make a lot of long drives, and then once you get in that red zone, they really look to try and cause turnovers. I really think they're going to really be ball hawks like they were against the Titans and like they have been all season and just try and go for that ball.
Yeah. Well, Quinn, stay on and talk about some Notre Dame when we get down to that. I think it's on the list, so
yeah,
press number one. Press right, one when we do what, Trey?
Let's get Quinn's other NFL picks real quick.
All right, Quinn, go ahead, pick them, bud.
What
number five will be
again?
It'll be Minnesota Detroit.
I'll take Minnesota.
Okay, Atlanta Falcons at New Orleans.
Atlanta.
Okay, we have the Eagles at home against the Cowboys.
The Eagles.
Okay, bad pick. Tampa at home against the Chargers.
Tampa.
Okay, and you just picked that one. So Quinn, when we come back on Notre Dame, press number one once we hang up, and then press one again if you want to come back in when we start talking some college football. We'd love to hear back from
you. All right.
All right. Thanks, Quinn, for the call, and big Bears fan. So, Trey, there's a lot to talk about in the college football world this week, some big games. And what I want to know from the chat room, from you and whoever, is is a big team going to be upset this week? Who's on upset alert when you look at some of these teams? Because, honestly, I'm putting one team, one of the big boys, on upset alert, and that's it. And we'll talk about that as we go on. But in the college football world, Trey, you picked 10 tough games again, and I'm ready for the chat room to come alive on their college now. And call in if you'd like to talk, 646-716-5564. The chat's already starting to roll, Trey, about who's on upset alert. So let's get started.
Yeah, if you pick the same upset alert I have, Tarvin, this is going to get a little, this is going to get serious because I got somebody big on upset alert as well. Our our first game is the Thursday night game. I'll tell you, I heard this recently that said that this was a no-win game for Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. That if he loses, that you know, obviously this could be the game that decides that Jimbo Fisher's not at Florida State anymore. But if he wins, it's to be expected, and nothing happens. So what do you think about FSU going on the road on Thursday night in Blacksburg?
I don't think they'll have a problem because, honestly, I mean, Virginia Tech, I mean, I think they're undefeated at home this year, but they really haven't beaten anybody worth talking about at home. I really don't think Florida State needs to worry, but they do not need to come in, Trey, and play like the Florida State you know. You know, sometimes they come in, they play sloppy, a lot of penalties, bad play calling, turnovers. If that happens and Virginia Tech stays in this game early, they're going to gain confidence and they could, you know, give Florida State some trouble with Logan Thomas. I mean, he's a dual-threat quarterback. He's hard to defend. So Florida State's going to have to come in and just take care of business. I believe they're a 14-point favorite in this game, and they should be. Even in Virginia Tech, this is a down year. These guys are just fighting to be bowl eligible. It's not the Virginia Tech of old. And so looking at it, I don't think you have much to worry about. I mean, looking at it, Florida State gives us 12 points a game, Virginia Tech 24.7. I mean, that's a big difference. They're only scoring 27 points a game compared to Florida State's 44.8. So are you concerned at all about this game?
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Miklow said that, and good point. Florida State's 5-5 on Thursday nights. They're 0-1 this year. Virginia Tech has always sort of given Florida State hassles. I think the extra bye week that Jimbo Fisher had before this game should be the deciding factor. I think this game is going to be close because Florida State plays so poorly on Thursday night's games, and I don't think Florida State's elite. So I think that, you know, this is the kind of team that Florida State can struggle against because Virginia Tech isn't very good, but I don't think Florida State is necessarily elite. I think Florida State wins a close one, Tarvin.
Well, I mean, when you say Florida State's not elite, I have to disagree. I mean, the talent on that team, you know, is second to none, really. They can play up there with the Alabamas, the Oregons, but the problem with Florida State, they're not disciplined enough to play it for 12 weeks. And to beat the NC States, it appears to give them problems. And Virginia Tech's not a team they're going to overlook just because of the name, Frank Beamer, and Logan Thomas is a dangerous quarterback. But if Florida State had any kind of discipline to that team, they would be playing in the national championship probably. That's how good they were. I mean, that's how good they are, and that's how we predicted them. You know, nobody predicted them to lose to NC State, but history does repeat itself with Florida State. It seems like they have a lot of trouble getting up for the small teams. But I think Florida State had a bye week, right?
Yeah, I think that's the difference here. Yeah, they had a bye week going into this.
Yeah, I think that is a big difference, too. I think Florida State's hungry. They come out, they play good defense, they hit hard, force turnovers. I like Florida State by at least 2 touchdowns. I like the point spread in this game. I would give the 14 points.
It looks like everybody in the chat room agrees, so hopefully that stands true for me and my Noles. But I'll move us on, Tarvin, to the Penn State Nittany Lions are 6-3. And they're going on the road against the now, you know, favorite to win the Big Ten, number 16 Nebraska, 7-2.
Wow, that's a good game. I wonder where Nathan is tonight. I think Nebraska is favored by a touchdown in this game. And honestly, I just don't think Penn State has the offense really to beat Nebraska on the road. If this was in Happy Valley, and I would probably favor Penn State, honestly, Trey, but looking at it, I have to go with the Huskers. It seems like they find a way at the end to get it done. You know, they always find that way to, just like last week on the road, they found a way to get it done. I like them again to get it done at home. Penn State, not enough offense.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State on the road this year, I mean, that's been where they've struggled the most. Nebraska, Tarvin, this game is this game, unfortunately, is a day game for Nebraska. If this was a night game, I think this would be a much easier pick. Obviously, Lincoln at night is a different story than Lincoln during the day. I think Nebraska wins a close one just because I think they're a better football team right now. And Taylor Martinez will be at home. I think Penn State's a little susceptible to the rushing attack that Taylor Martinez and Nebraska will have. I think Nebraska wins a close one, Tarvin. I think about 7 points.
Well, that's the point spread. And I think they win a little bit more than that. I think Penn State will keep it close early within 3-4 points. I think, you know, that last touchdown by Taylor Martinez will make it 11-12 points. So I like Nebraska at home. And let me tune into the chat room real quick to see what they say. Lazy Key picks Nebraska. Joshua Shaw is a big Nebraska fan, picks Nebraska. Sonia, Nebraska. Jonathan, Chris Melly picks the Cornholes. Jason Humphrey, Nebraska. Everybody's picking Nebraska. Nobody's giving any love to Penn State, which is concerning to me, Trey. I thought a few people would pick Penn State in this game.
Well, I mean, Tarvin, I mean, this is a game that Penn State can win. I mean, Nebraska's been certainly up and down, but Nebraska's played much better at home. Their defense has played much better at home. I just think, again, this isn't a night game, but I really do think Nebraska will win this game.
No doubt.
No, I really don't. I think it'll be a close game, but no doubt.
Okay. Well, that's why I like to hear confidence in your pick like that. So I like them, too. I like them, too, man. It's just I'm not a big Nebraska fan. I'm not very impressed with them at all, but it just seems like they know how to close the game out. If it's close, it just seems like they know how to pull it out. So I'm going Nebraska, so take us on to number eight. I don't know if I want you to take me to number eight.
Well, I put this game on here. It's a rivalry game. I'm gonna get some hate for putting this game on here, but Tarvin, this is the number 5 Georgia Bulldogs. They're traveling on the road to your beloved Auburn Tigers.
Well, I mean, Auburn does have some things going for it. The season's almost over. You know, it's a night game in Auburn. New quarterback Jonathan Wallace, the freshman. Georgia doesn't have a lot of, you know, film to study. But at the end of the day, Georgia's defense in this game, Auburn's inability, you know, to throw the ball. They're missing both of their tight ends. They're hurt. Lutzen Kirkin and CJ's hurt. So I just wonder who Wallace is going to go to, that go-to guy to get him out of trouble on third down or any time any coverage breaks down. Wallace can scramble, but he's never started a real game. He started last week against New Mexico State, but Auburn's defense will have to play like it did against LSU earlier in the season to have any kind of shot. We need Georgia to actually turn the ball over, a lot of penalties like they normally do. But, Trey, I don't feel very good about this one, bud. I really don't. Even if it's a night game, Georgia has too much to lose to come in and lose this game to let their guard down. And, again, the road team, Trey, usually wins. The road team in this series usually dominates. I don't know. I have to pick Georgia in this.
Well, I mean, I think you're picking with your brain instead of your heart in this one. I mean, I think this game is going to be closer than you may think. I mean, maybe it's because I really am not impressed with Georgia. I haven't been on their bandwagon all year, so it's hard for me to think that Georgia. I mean, I thought they were going to struggle last week, and they really didn't. So maybe I'm wrong, Tarvin. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think this game is probably closer than the experts might think. But I think Georgia does win this game. I just think Georgia's got too much for Auburn. But I think Auburn's going to keep it a little closer than you might think.
I hope so. I hope it's a game. And I hope, you know, the fans that go, and I'm trying to go myself, stay till the end regardless of what's happening. Because those kids need to see support. They need to see that everybody's behind them. They don't need to look up at the end of the first quarter and everybody gone like happened in the Texas A&M game. That's not how you support a team. You support a team whether you're good, bad, whatever. You're a fan. You stay and show your support. It's very upsetting to me when I see people leave. And I'll tell anybody that. If I see you leaving a ball game, it's just I'll think a lot less of you. So Tino's on the line, Trey. And I know why he wants to talk about. What's going on, Tino?
What's going on, baby? How y'all guys doing?
Oh, good. You doing okay? You working hard this week?
Yeah, doing a little something, man. This weather's got us behind, but we're doing all right. So, I don't like for nobody to leave early either. You know, when I go to a game, I stay the whole time unless it's a medical reason or something why we leave. UGA, they tend to exit the games early, you know, whenever we beat them. And all this negativity that you got, you know, on here about, you know, UGA's this, and UGA hadn't played anybody. You know, at the end of the day, who have they played? Who is Florida? You know, they're trash. They're not really any good. Can't name five players on the team, you know. When they come to Auburn, number one, we got a stable full of running backs. Georgia's got a couple running backs. We're going to run the ball down their throat consecutively. We don't have to necessarily throw the ball as long as we can keep a little bit of play action in there to keep Georgia's linebackers and hard-hitting safety out of the way. You know, I already know how we're going to go into the game. It's just that I hope that our alleged offensive coordinator can come up with a good scheme for Georgia, but I don't know what that dude's doing out there on the field anyways, but hopefully he can pull something together. But I think the game's going to be a lot closer than what people think, and I think people are underestimating Auburn big time in this game. I mean, this is for pride right here.
Well, Tino, let me ask you something. Looking at the play caller, Scott Leffler, looking at a new quarterback, this is really his first SEC start. You know, he played against New Mexico State last week.
Right.
I mean, how predictable is the play calling going to be, and how conservative? Is he going to let this guy just – is he going to just open the playbook and try to win the game, or is he going to call conservative and try to get the guy through the game and keep him alive? Because I think Georgia's going to blitz, and I think they're going to blitz hard. And it's all up to him whether he can hit that receiver downfield or scramble with his leg. But Leffler being the offensive coordinator makes me pick Georgia in this game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you bring up the offensive coordinator. I wish I could sit here and tell you what he's going to call. I mean, I've called his whole playbook out this whole season. Third and three, I knew what he was going to do. I mean, so Georgia pretty much knows what he's going to do. I mean, our offensive coordinator is part of our problem. I think that's something that needs to be worked on. But the quarterback himself, I pray to God they don't blitz that much, because I Googled Trey, and Trey weighs 135, and our quarterback weighs 132, and this dude can't take a lot of hits, you know. This is a little guy. So, I mean, we got to make sure that, you know, he is protected, because I looked at this guy on the field. He's not no bigger than my 10-year-old son. You know, he's not your average quarterback. So I just hope that, you know, he can duck and dodge out there, because he's definitely not Cam Newton by far.
Yeah. Well, Tino, man, War Eagle, and we're going to try to pull this out for you this week, and hopefully Sunday night you can call in.
Oh, we got this, but I ain't even worried.
All right, I love your confidence, man. I like his confidence, Trey. Tino, thanks, buddy, for the call. I need some confidence like Tino has right now, Trey.
Well, you know, like I said, I think Tino's got a point in, you know, who has Georgia played. I mean, I disagree with Florida. I think Florida's a pretty good football team. But I just haven't seen from Georgia what I think we all thought we would see based on their preseason, which is they're going to be blowing folks out. You know, they have an easier schedule, and, you know, it really hasn't gone as well as Georgia wanted it to this year. So we'll see, Tarvin. I'm not sold on Georgia's ability. I mean, they have all the talent in the world, but they haven't seemed to put it together in a way that makes me convinced that they can blow out a team they should beat. You know, I just haven't seen it yet.
Well, I have some news real quick. Some more rumors in the coaching search. Bobby Petrino was in Auburn the other day, and Trey, they're looking to hire Bobby Petrino as the offensive coordinator and pay him a head coach's salary, you know, in order to come in and help Auburn's offense. And also, I have heard that Trooper Taylor he's one of the coaches that has been sidelined by the NCAA, you know, for recruiting right now, just while they're looking at some things. So, Danny Sheridan actually wasn't lying when he said that. So, Auburn could be in some trouble there. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's just a precaution, just to keep them satisfied. But what do you think about Petrino being the OC real quick before we move on?
I think Petrino is going to have head coaching offers. I just don't see him taking a coordinator position when he's easily going to get a head coaching offer.
Well, he turned Kentucky down because I think his kids are in Louisville, but he wants a job. I think coming to Auburn would be a good fit for him because they need his help. He's coached there before. And it was kind of helping gain his credibility back. You know, I mean, he made a mistake. People make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, sometimes you have to take a step down step back and actually, you know, prove yourself again. So coming to Auburn would help. I think if he comes to Auburn as the OC, I think Chizik stays. I think if he doesn't, Chizik goes. But pretty soon, by December 1st, we'll know everything that's going to happen. A lot could happen. And what I'm hearing is going to be, you know, get the broom out and sweep the house, because that's what's about to happen at Auburn. So, Trey, take us on to game 7.
And moving on to our next game, this game has the makings of an upset. When what's odd about this game is the team is ranked that you wouldn't expect. It's number 24 Northwestern, 7-2, on the road against 6-3 non-ranked Michigan. So what do you think, Tarvin? Is Northwestern one of these paper sort of rankings that are they legitimately ranked?
Trey, I thought the same thing when you said that, when I saw the ranking and the game you picked. Well, I think Michigan at Michigan, you know, this is a road game. I think Michigan wins this game. I think the offense will be too much for Northwestern to really handle. And looking at their defense, Northwestern is giving up 22 points a game, and Michigan's averaging 28. So, but the thing is, Northwestern's averaging 30 points, Trey, and Michigan's only allowing 16. So, looking at it, Northwestern's 2-1 on the road. Denard Robinson, if he plays, I think, is he playing?
You know, I actually haven't heard if he's going to play. Maybe somebody in the chat room can weigh in on whether they've for sure heard he's playing. I heard he's questionable, but I haven't kept up with it exactly as close as I might want to be knowledgeable on it.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the other day Michigan, without Denard Robinson, put up their best offensive output of the year. So I think, you know, what time is this game? It could be Northwestern's nap time if it's 2:30. But I think it's a morning game. It's a noon kickoff Eastern time. Michigan,
it's a noon kickoff, yeah.
Yeah, Denard Robinson is doubtful for this game, and Devin Garner, the backup quarterback, is probable. So Michigan without Denard Robinson, guys. So in the chat room, if you want to change your pick, go ahead and change it if you didn't know that. But I'm going to still stay with Michigan. I like Michigan at home to get it done. I'm not a big believer in Northwestern trips.
Well, this game has some very interesting statistics behind it. I mean, Northwestern is 110th against the pass on defense, and Michigan's 105th. passing the ball. Neither one of these teams has done very well passing the ball. They both do pretty well rushing it. So when you're looking at, okay, well, who, you know, maybe this is actually won by a quarterback since both teams decently run. I mean, it's the Northwestern's 103rd on defense and passing defense. So, and Michigan's first. So I mean, I look at Michigan even without Denard Robinson to take down Northwestern. And I think the paper ranking, I don't think Northwestern should be ranked. So I think Michigan wins this game. I don't know that it's going to be close, Tarvin, even without Denard Robinson.
Yeah, Jason Minson in the chat room says Indiana, Northwestern, and Iowa all got reminded that they are supposed to suck. So,
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pick Michigan. Most people are picking Michigan in the chat room. So let's move it on.
Yeah, I just will say, though, that our arch nemesis, Joshua Shaw, picked Northwestern. So we'll have to see, Tarvin. We'll have to see.
Good, I'll gain a game on him then.
Now, another game we're moving on to, back to the SEC. Arkansas is at 4-5, playing a little bit better football, traveling on the road to the number 8 ranked South Carolina at 7-2.
Well, this is a good game for South Carolina. Noon kickoff without Lattimore, of course, but look, they're going to run the ball even without Lattimore down Arkansas's throat. They're going to throw all over Arkansas. And the difference is you've seen the pass rush of South Carolina. Anytime you try to throw on South Carolina and you're a one-dimensional team, it's just like they pin their ears back and come after you. Clowney goes off. And I think it's exactly what you're going to see in this game is the pass rush of South Carolina, you know, be too much, especially when South Carolina jumps out to a 10, 14-point lead and forces Arkansas to throw the ball late in the game. That's when South Carolina will tee off. I like them big, Trey.
I think this game is going to be pretty close. I don't know. I think I'm picking South Carolina, but I'm not sure that this game is going to be, any kind of blowout. I think Arkansas keeps this game close until the fourth quarter. I think South Carolina, through the quarterback play, wins this game in the fourth quarter. I think Tyler Wilson throws an interception that matters. you know, or a fumble or something like that off Clowney. So I think this game's won late in the game.
Yeah, and I remember that beating Wilson took against Alabama last year, you know, when they played, and the kid is tough. But I wonder if he's going to keep coming back too much, because they might hurt Tyler Wilson in this game if they don't protect him. I don't think it's close, Trey. I think you missed this game. I think South Carolina rolls, and we'll just see. Look at the chat room. It looks like everybody's picking South Carolina. I don't see anybody picking Arkansas. So we'll see, Trey. You're picking South Carolina, but a close game, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, take us off.
Well, this game may seem like a farce at number five, but the number four, Notre Dame, they're 9-0, coming off basically what I would call the cheated win of the year at Boston College, who is pretty terrible at 2-7. Does Boston College have any shot in this game?
Man, I can't believe you put this game on here. This is actually a game, Trey, that I think Notre Dame blows out. It's a, you know, it's a night game in Boston College. Notre Dame's been hearing all week, you know, how they should have lost that game. And actually, they should have lost that Pittsburgh game. So the defense of Notre Dame will shut down Boston College. Notre Dame's not going to score 40, 50 points or nothing like that. But they'll score probably around 28 to 31. Boston College might score 10 if they're lucky at home. So I like Notre Dame to cover the spread of 19.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to say because as Quinn has told us, Notre Dame plays to their competition. If you're looking at Boston College's victories this year, they've beaten Maine, which, yes, Tarvin, they apparently do have a football team, and Maryland, who has four quarterbacks hurt and are playing with what I assume is you or me at quarterback, because they've lost all four of their quarterbacks on their roster. So not exactly Boston College hasn't exactly won a game that matters this year. So, yeah, I think Notre Dame wins this game easily.
Well, yeah, I do too. And there's somebody on the line that's coming back, Trey, that I told to come back since he was a champ last week and picking. Quinn, what's going on, bud?
Hey, I just wanted to say I think Notre Dame, I think, will take care of business. An interesting statistic is Notre Dame's average of wins, I learned about this like last week, averaged of wins by margin is 17 on the road and 5 at home. That's why I say they play better on the road than at home. I'm actually glad we get USC on the road than at home.
That's a good point, Quinn, because I think you're right. Notre Dame seems to play a lot better on the road, which is odd. At home, it seems like that would be a home field advantage. Why is it Notre Dame sucks at home, Quinn?
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I think it might be less pressure on the road. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. Well, Quinn, while we have you here, tell us about your Auburn-Georgia prediction real quick, since you're an Auburn fan.
I think this might be Auburn's best game to date. I think they'll play better than what they did against LSU. I actually think it'll be close, and I really hope it is a game. I just want it to be close.
Yeah, I want to win. So I want to win. I want to play good. And Quinn,
yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show, as always. Being a faithful supporter of the show, and we'll see you on Sunday, Quinn. Hopefully you have 2-3 wins to brag about. So Trey, take us on, bud.
Yeah, and Tara, I just want to tell Quinn, and, you know, before we wrap up the show, call us back and give us the rest of your college picks to make up for last week, and if Ryan Burgess is listening, do the same as well so we can get you guys both on to pick the rest of your games from last week. Moving on to our next game. We got Mississippi State, who have lost 2 in a row and are still ranked number 21 in the country, on the road against LSU's got their tail between their legs at 7-2 after that heartbreaking loss, ranked number 7 in the country still.
Yeah, what does LSU have to really, you know, play for after that game against Alabama? There's no SEC championship game. There's no national championship game. There's no division championship, nothing. So what do they play for? How do they rebound from that game where they laid it all on the line to see it, that lead evaporate in just seconds on that last drive? It's a very concerning game. Mississippi State has looked terrible the last couple of weeks. They've been blown out by Alabama and Texas A&M. So both teams come in, you know, bad mentally, Trey. I like LSU to win just because they're more talented. But, you know, it's going to be a tough game to pick. I'm going to have to pick LSU, but I don't know how these guys are going to rebound.
Well, I mean, interestingly enough, I mean, LSU ranked at number 7. I mean, I think they still have a BCS shot. It's not – I mean, I think it's a long shot, Tarvin, you know, but it's not outside the realm of possibility, depending on how the rest of this, you know, if some other crazier stuff happens in college football. So I think LSU's got some stuff to play for. And I still think Mississippi State is completely overrated at 21. So I think they're going to get, beat pretty handily.
Well, Trey, I think in order for LSU to make a BCS bowl game, Florida is going to have to lose to Florida State, and Georgia is going to have to lose to Alabama, you know, or Auburn, somebody like that. So if Georgia makes the SEC championship game and loses, LSU would probably be a better attraction. But still, I mean, when you have national championship aspirations and you lost them, the BCS doesn't really matter to LSU. I mean, national championship's what matters. So I still don't know how they're going to get motivated, how they're going to – Les Miles is going to earn his paycheck this week to get these guys. It's either going to be a blowout, LSU's going to blow these guys out early, or it's going to be, you know, a very close game by LSU winning. But I just don't see Mississippi State anyway pulling this out regardless.
And you think Mettenberger plays in? I mean, is he going to continue to play at the level he played against Alabama? I mean, you think that was a fluke?
No, I think he will. I think, you know, there's a turning point in every player's career, and I think that could have been I think that could have been the turning point right there. So I think Mettenberger has a big game against Mississippi State. Maybe not 300 yards or anything, but I don't think he turns the ball over. And confidence is huge for a quarterback at that position. Even though they lost the game, Mettenberger played well at that position. So I like him to play good again.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Mississippi State. I think LSU has a good game and kind of rolls this game, especially at home. Which moves us to number 3, Tarvin. I haven't heard your upset pick yet, by the way. Is it still coming, Tarvin, or did you forget it?
Oh, it's coming.
All right. Number 2, Kansas State. They're 9-0 on the road against TCU.
Well, you found it, Trey. You found my upset pick. You found it. Optimus Klein with a concussion, maybe, concussed. You got TCU at home, Gary Patterson, a great coach. Kansas State's been playing very well every week. I think this is the week they might hit that roadblock.
I'm going to give you an interesting statistic. And I have this game as an upset alert as well. And here's why. Gary Patterson and TCU are over their last 3 games against BCS top 5 teams. You know what his record is, guys? 3-0. Something's in the water when it comes to TCU, Gary Patterson, and BCS top 5 teams recently. So, Tarvin, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to pick TCU to win this game, not just upset alert. This is a win for TCU on the road for Kansas State. Optimus Klein with a possible concussion. If he can't play at the level he's been playing, Tarvin, then Kansas State cannot win this game.
Well, the guy couldn't even remember the scoring play. The scoring drive, the one before, I mean, that's how delusionally, you know, he got knocked out almost. So I think going on the road, TCU will be up for this game. I'm with you, Trey. That was my upset pick of the week. That was the only team that I had that was going to lose. And, you know, Oregon will slide up into that number 2 spot after this week, and I think that's where it's going to stay. So Kansas State, bye-bye. National title hopes, it's over after this week.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, if it wasn't for Klein's injury, you know, I don't have this game where I have it. But, you know, Klein with the, you know, what we heard last week about him not being able to remember that he ran in the end zone, and all of not only the NFL but college football's concussion rules and the worries, I watched a press conference with Coach Snyder, and he was saying all the things that kind of give you the roadmap to his quarterback not playing and to him having a lot of concern for his football team if he doesn't. Klein is absolutely the most valuable player on any team in college football, because without Klein, this team is nowhere near what they are now. So Tarvin, I don't know that he's going to play, and even if he does, I don't think he plays at the level because of the concussion symptoms. So, you know, TCU, are you picking TCU to win this game, Tarvin, or do you just have Kansas State on upset alert?
I'm picking TCU to win it.
There you go.
Going to beat Kansas State. Jonathan even changed his pick after hearing your speech, Trey. You motivated him to change his pick. It's a great job, man. Great job. I like this upset. I mean, especially if this was in Kansas State, you know, I'd put him on upset alert, but I wouldn't pull the trigger on it. This week, I'm pulling the trigger.
Absolutely. I agree with you, too. This game has the makings, and like I said, anytime you have a player that means so much to his football team in such doubt, and maybe he plays at a high level. I think if he comes out and he has no symptoms and he gets cleared to play, I think this is a different game. But, you know, given what I have to go on now, I can't go with Kansas State, given Gary Patterson's mystique around these games.
Okay, so Sonia and Jason in the chat room, Jason Minson, Sonia Minson, picked TCU to win. Wow. I'm just looking through the picks real quick. Brian Burgess is going with K-State. Joshua Shaw, K-State. Jason Humphrey's picking the Ducks. He says, go Ducks. So I'm not even talking about Oregon Ducks. Jason, come on now. All right. So big upset, Trey. You and I are both on this game, which is rather odd to me to see both of us pick this big upset. But let's go.
Yeah, number two, this game actually means, you know, talking about the Oregon Ducks, actually means something for Oregon because of the whole strength of schedule in case all four teams do win out. This is a game that, you know, you want, if you're Oregon, you want Oregon State to win because you want them to be a top 10 team when you play them at the end of the year. They're number 11 in the country currently, and they're 7-1. They're traveling on the road to number 14, Stanford.
Well, I mean, this is a tough game to pick because which Stanford team is going to show up, which Oregon State team is going to show up. Oregon State hasn't, you know, they lost a couple of weeks ago, which was their first loss of the season. But looking at this game, honestly, I think Oregon State matches up well with Stanford. I think they can slow down Stanford's running game. I think they can actually score on Stanford. So Oregon goes on the road in Stanford and wins this game, Trey. That's another upset.
Yeah, what's the line on this game?
4.5.
Oregon State or Stanford?
Stanford.
You know, this game, I've been going back and forth. I mean, the two losses Stanford has are on the road. They've actually played pretty well at home. So because of their home record, Tarvin, and because of the way they've played at home, I just think Stanford wins this game in a close one. I can't fault anybody for going for the Oregon State, but I think Stanford at home will play better and show up as the good Stanford team versus the Stanford that we see lose games that they probably shouldn't. So I'm going with Stanford in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to pick the Pac-12, especially when you get down a little bit. I mean, you get past Oregon, it's very hard to predict the consistency of these teams. But this game's 3 o'clock Eastern. I like it better. If it was a night game, I would pick Stanford probably. But being a day game, Oregon State's very well coached as well. So the defense of Oregon State is what gets it done in this game. So I'm picking the upset. I don't pick anybody else. I don't see anybody else in the chat room picking it. Jason Minson picks Oregon State. Sonia picks Oregon State. So there's a couple people with me. Brian Burgess picks Oregon State. It's okay, Trey. You might be all alone almost.
Well, you know, some every man is his own island. So, you know, I'll sit on my own island alone for a while. We'll see if it happens. Hell, Smelly just joined me, okay? So does Lacey. So, hey, Joshua Shaw picks Stanford. So, Tarvin, I got my posse with me. We're going to go with Stanford.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you about 7 o'clock Saturday night and see if you still like that pick.
I know you will. Number one, Tarvin, Alabama. They are number one on our games list again with the number 15 Texas A&M Aggies coming to town, 7-2. Is Alabama on upset alert?
No. I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I mean, we've seen this game before, and we saw it last year when Arkansas, you know, went into Tuscaloosa. It's the same kind of game, like a spread you out. Johnny Football is going to spread Alabama out, but the problem is Alabama has so much talent on the defensive side of the ball. I think they really, you know, they're going to spy Johnny Football. They're going to slow him down running the football, just like LSU did. And I think Alabama is going to be able to run the football down Texas A&M's throat. I mean, it looks appealing. I mean, when you think about it, when you look at that game, Alabama-LSU game last week, I think it might have motivated Alabama playing a close game like that and almost losing. I think they played motivated. I think Saban has them ready. So I'm going to pick Alabama big in this game.
You know, I'm going to go not so fast, Harvin. I think Alabama is an upset alert. I think coming off a game that you win like Alabama did, I think it's going to be very tough to basically start getting yourself mentally prepared for this game. I think they may overlook it a little bit. I think Alabama is going to struggle a little bit at first, and I think that Manziel will play pretty well. I mean, he's been tested a couple of times on the road. I don't think the Texas A&M has talent this year to take down Alabama, but I do think they have the talent enough to make this a very close game. So I realize that I just now lost my cookie from Sonya. But, Sonya, I'm telling you, watch out for this game. I think Alabama wins it, but I think it's closer than everyone may think.
Yeah, and Tino's mad at you, Trey, for picking Alabama number one again. He knows you picked several. You pulled for several different teams. He's upset now.
Well, I think it's a compliment that he doesn't know if you can't really tell who I'm rooting for, so that's the sign of a good host. But, you know, Tarvin, it's the number one game of the week. I mean, what other game would you put on here? I mean, the Oregon State-Stanford game is certainly good, but this is the number one football team in the country, you know, facing a top-10 team, so a top-15 team. So you got to put that game as number one.
Definitely, and we're going to bring Sonya on. What's going on, Sonya?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going? Who do you have this weekend?
As if. Bama. Always. You know not to
yep.
ask me that question. You
well,
might
Bama
as well put Ditto
a...
on there for all my picks for Bama games. It'll be Bama, but I do agree with Trey. I think they'll put up a fight, but it's going to be Bama.
Yeah, it'll be Bama. Bama's 14-point favorite in this game.
The thing is, too, it's like, you know, like you were saying, the way they played last week against LSU, you know, they're going to fix that. That's already done. It's already fixed. So Saban doesn't play. You're going to see him come out. They're going to be looking like our regular Bama, and it's going to be our win.
And a coach for Alabama, Pruitt, actually was talking, you know, and he was talking to somebody I know that last week he was very concerned about the LSU game. And he said that, you know, Alabama is not as good as people thought they were. They haven't been tested. Well, they finally got tested. And so I'm interested to see how they play now after almost ruining their season last week. Usually teams like that come out inspired. You know, look at Auburn a couple years ago when they had a game like that. They came out the next week and just trounced South Carolina. And I think the same thing's about to happen.
It's going to happen. I mean, the thing is, it's like our guys play with heart. They want this. They are forging their own identity. So you're going to see them come out. They're going to be focused. They're not going to make the same mistakes, and they're just going to be playing. You know, AJ's going to have a great game. It's just going to be a good game. I think it'll be a good game, but Bama will win.
Sorry, I was drinking some water. I apologize.
No drinking.
No drinking
Trey,
allowed,
give,
right?
Trey, give Tino half your cookie. So he can stop whining about Bama being the number one game?
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. You got to put on the best games that go on nationally, and this certainly has the most national attention this week. I mean, obviously, game day and everyone else is celebrating Veterans Day, and certainly what they're doing on the aircraft carrier is great. But when we're talking about football games and what's the number one game of the week, You got to put the Alabama game on right now because they're facing a very highly touted Texas A&M team who's playing, I think, beyond what we thought they would earlier in the season.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember preseason when we were discussing which of the two would have the better season or would have the best season join in their first year in the SEC, and we all said Texas A&M. and they're definitely showing out.
Well, they're a lot better than I thought they would be, honestly. I didn't think Johnny Football. I didn't even know who that was. I just saw him coming with a freshman quarterback first year in the SEC. They didn't have a shot. But, hey, you know, they showed they can play. But the thing is, can they recruit big defensive players? Because at the end of the day, with all the offense, they can win 9-10 games. But is that going to be enough to win the SEC? I think not. So they have to go out and recruit some big-time defensive players.
Oh, yeah, and if they do, when they get to that point and they do, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. It's just, when I think about their first game against Florida, you know, Florida won, like, in the last minute by the skin of their teeth. And here's a team that comes out, they're ready to play, but the one thing I have noticed is they do kind of slow down in the second half.
Yeah,
it's almost like a mini Georgia.
That's a great point. That's a very good point, Trey, that she just brought up. Texas A&M does seem to struggle, but the last couple of weeks they've seemed to play better. So I'm interested to see what Texas A&M shows up, and I'm interested to see what Alabama team shows up. So this is going to be a great game. I think Alabama pulls away from them, you know, and just too much talent. But it could. I mean, you know, you never know what can happen on any given Saturday.
I know. It's like I can see them coming out and making some noise first quarter, but second quarter or second half will all belong to Bama. They're just not consistent. They always choke in the second half. But I'm like you. I'm interested to see when they do get that defense up and they get used to this SEC style of play. Hey, they'll be battling for third or fourth place.
Hey, Sonia, I have a message from Tino. He said, Texas A&M sucks, change the subject. They haven't beaten anyone.
Tell Tino to go to bed.
Tino, go to bed, man.
About Auburn right now.
Just pass your bed.
We will talk about Auburn in the chat room where they belong. Now, with the grown folks table, I need him to stay at the kiddie table until we're finished.
So Sonia, are you picking the TCU over Kansas State, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep.
That's going to be a good game too. So,
that is. Jason and I were talking about that when we were going through our list for our pick-ems, and we were just like, you know, Jason said it best. What'd you say? Maybe you were like, it's what'd you say about TCU? It was basically what you were saying, Trey, earlier, as far as it's always that one game.
Yeah, is that game.
Yeah, they always have that one game.
Factor in Klein, and, you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, that, to me, KSU is a one-man team. I mean, it's basically Optimus Klein. So how he goes is how the team goes. And if he's not, like Trey said, if he's not 100%, then they're going to lose.
Yeah, just like Michigan, when we were talking about UM at the beginning of the season, it's the same thing. It's just one person. So look at what happened when Denard got hurt.
Somebody's got to lose, and that team is going to be KSU. There won't be four unbeaten.
Hey, Jason, tell me about your Gophers going on the road at 3:30 Eastern against Illinois. Are they going to pull it out?
Bowling, baby! We're going bowling. That's going to be our sixth win. So, Illinois is the pit of the Big Ten, and that's a really deep, deep, deep pit. So,
I see Minnesota's favored 3 points in this game. So you'd lay the three.
Oh yeah, I mean they're gonna do worse than what they did to Purdue. Illinois is worse than Purdue, honestly.
Wow.
Purdue's bad.
You know, and I was actually even – we could probably beat Michigan State this year. So we could possibly have seven wins. So I'm almost on target with what I predicted at the beginning of the year. Everyone
predicted
said I was crazy.
Seven wins, right? You predicted 7-8 wins, right?
Six or seven wins, yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, the Gophers are playing good. I mean, they actually play with – they have some motivation to play with. You know, their coach – playing for him, and being bowl eligible is huge. So I know they're going to come out and give it their all. I think that's a sucker line. I think you're right. I think Minnesota wins this game big. Trey, do you see Illinois being able to pull an upset off in this game?
I think it'll be close, but I think Minnesota wins the game.
All right, you're okay in my book now, Trey.
You get your cookie back.
You get your cookie back, and I won't put raisins in it either.
Oh, but, thank God. Raisins,
yeah, I mean, it's
cookie.
I'm going to enjoy the game. You know, they're going to throw some points up. I like Nelson as QB, and I love the fact that they moved Gray back to wide receiver because it just gives them another threat on offense. So if they can play all four quarters, it'll be ugly. If it's over by half, it could be closer than that. But I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in Illinois.
Jason, if Minnesota wins six games, you know, compared to seven, just say if they win seven, what bowl do you think they would go to? What kind of bowl?
Well, I see what I'm most disappointed in, Tarvin, because I said this at the beginning of the year. I would love for Minnesota to play Auburn, but that's not going to happen. So, I don't know. It's going to be a low bowl. I mean, it'll be one of those, there's a bowl game on tonight. But, I mean, I can guarantee everyone in Minnesota will be watching it. So, I don't know. We'll see. I haven't been to a bowl for so long, I don't know who we'd play.
Yeah, it's just good to beat up bowl. Tino said it's the Porta John Bowl and the Toilet Bowl. He said that's what Minnesota will be in.
The Toilet Bowl. Just in itself, Tarvin, we only won three games last year. And if we win Saturday, we doubled our wins to six. That is a major, major accomplishment.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment. Anytime you can get better, especially, by 100%, you just doubled your wins. If you can do it next year, you'll be 12-0, right?
Yeah, and the scary thing is they're young. They're all sophomores and juniors and freshmen. You know, they're starting a true freshman quarterback, Nelson. And I'm telling you, he's the real deal.
Yeah, he is. Man, I thank you for calling in and giving us some input. I think Chris Smelly's been muted in the chat room for a minute. I don't know. Let me check this out. Trey, did you do that?
I did not. Smelly, what happened, buddy? Did you break some rules?
Oh, he's back now. He's back now. Smelly, I don't know what happened, man, but Lacey loved that, though.
So. Yeah, of course she did.
Well, Jason, thanks for calling in. Sonia, thanks for your input. We're going to bring Quinn and Brian Burgess on to give them their picks
that
they missed last week. But thanks for the
Roll
call.
Tide.
Have a great one.
All right, you too. All right, Brian Burgess, are you on the line?
I'm here.
All right, welcome, sir. How are you?
Thank you. Huh?
Well, Brian, you were right about the LSU-Bama game. Boy, LSU came in and played like men that game. So kudos to you for picking a very close game. It was definitely close. And I want you to come in with Quinn. I'm going to bring Quinn on the line real quick. And I'm going to run through the games real quick. Give us your pick. I'm going to start with Brian Quinn, the NFL. I'm going to let Trey do the college. I'm going to do the NFL real quick. Let me get to my page here. Sorry. Quinn's already picked the NFL game. So start with the Detroit, Minnesota. Who do you like, Brian?
Detroit.
Okay, Atlanta, New Orleans.
I gotta go with my Saints, man. They seem to be on fire lately.
Okay, me too.
So I think they're gonna give the Falcons their first loss.
I'm 100% with you on that one. Philadelphia is at home against Dallas. Who do you got?
Oh God, Philadelphia just sucks right now. So I gotta go with the Cowboys, even though I just do not like Tony Romo and Dallas and that little redheaded ginger coach they got.
Yeah. So, give me who you like on the Tampa Bay Chargers game.
That's a tough one. Living out here, all I hear is Charger talk, but I don't know. They're kind of, they're up one week and down the next. But Tampa Bay seems to be playing a little bit better right now, so I'll go with the Bucks.
All right, our number one game, Houston against the Bears.
That's another tough one, but I'm going to go with the Texans. I think they're just a little bit better all-around team than the Bears right now, so I'm going to go with them.
All right. Well, Trey, you have Quinn and Brian at your disposal here. If you want to, however you want to do it, take over, bud.
All right, guys. Looking at our number 10 game was FSU at Virginia Tech. Quinn, what do you got?
FSU rolls.
All right. How about Brian? What do you think about
this one? Yeah, FSU. Yeah, Virginia Tech is really not that good this season.
Yeah. Hopefully so, guys. Number nine, Penn State on the road against number 16, Nebraska.
I'll go with the Cornhuskers.
I've got Nebraska, too.
All right, no surprises there, and not a lot of people giving the old Nittany Lions any love today. How about number five, Georgia, 8-1 on the road at Auburn. Quinn, are you going to pick your Auburn?
Yeah, I can't pick against my team, so I'm going with Auburn.
All right, Brian, is that a smart move?
Georgia, no. Man, I think Georgia's going to roll in this game. They really are.
All right. We talked about Northwestern, number 24 in the country at Michigan. Brian, do you think that's a legitimate ranking? Are they going to win this game?
No. Well, I think Northwestern wins this game. I'm not sure. If Denard Robinson's not playing, then I'm going to go with Northwestern.
Hey, there you go. Tarvin, we got a Northwestern pick. All right.
I've got Northwestern, too.
Check that out. There we go. Got our guest pickers picking Northwestern. I love it. All right. Number six, Arkansas on the road at South Carolina. What you got, Brian?
Oh, man, I've got to go with the Gamecocks roasting them daggum pigs. I just cannot stand Arkansas. So I hope South Carolina just rolls all over them.
Well, Arkansas did struggle with Tulsa last week. So, Quinn, what do you think?
South Carolina.
All right, no upsets there. All right, Quinn, number four, 9-0 Notre Dame on the road to Boston College. Are we looking at an upset,
Dame.
Quinn?
Notre Dame. Right.
How about Brian? What do you think?
Well, even though Boston College is 2-7, I think Notre Dame tries to make this as close as they made all the other ones except Oklahoma. How you can beat the tar out of Oklahoma and then coming back and play Pitt and have to go into three overtimes to win is just mind-boggling, but they'll probably win by a field goal. I mean, really, I guess it's not called the luck of the Irish for nothing, right?
Yeah. You know, it's not unheard of for Notre Dame to struggle against Boston College after a big victory. Quinn, I think you remember the time you guys beat FSU and then lost to Boston College the next week. So we'll have to see. Boston College is pretty terrible, but Notre Dame seems to play them pretty poorly at times. Moving on to our number four game, number 21, Mississippi State at number 7, LSU. Brian, I'll let you make this one first.
Yeah, do you even have to ask? I don't know. You know, I think even though LSU lost that heartbreaker last weekend, I still think they're going to roll over Mississippi State because, I mean, you know, good grief. Mississippi State is just like, I don't know, they just like went down the toilet the last couple weeks. So I think LSU wins this game.
Quinn, do you think Brian's LSU Tigers roll?
Yeah, I think they win pretty big.
Yeah, I agree. All right, our number three game. You heard Tarvin and I pick the upset in this game. Number two, Kansas State on the road at TCU. Quinn, what do you got in this one?
TCU.
There you go.
Woo!
Harvin, we look good. All right, Brian.
I'm going against you guys. I'm going against Kansas State.
Come on, Brian, man.
Well, I mean, you know, I haven't heard anything this week, so I don't know if Colin Klein's going to play or not. I mean, to me, it's 50-50 either way, so I'm going to err on the side of Kansas State. I just really like them this season, so I'm just going to go with Kansas State.
All right. Well, Tarvin, that's somebody picking against us, so we'll have to see. Our number two game, Oregon State, 7-1 at number 14, Stanford. I was out on an island, Quinn, for a while until Smelly came on my island and then left me later on. But what do you got on this game, Quinn?
I'll let Brian go first since he was on the West Coast. I want to hear what he thinks of this game because I'm not sure yet.
All right, Quinn's indecisive, Brian. He can't cast his vote just yet. So what do you think, Brian?
Well, I'm going to go with Kansas. I'm going to go with Oregon State because Josh Nunez, and I don't even know if Nunez is going to be playing this Saturday. I think I heard on the radio today that they might be going with a different quarterback. But if Stanford keeps going with Nunez, he's just really not very good, I don't think, and so I'm just going to go with Oregon State on this game. I just think, you know, Mike Riley comes out, has them fired up, and I just think they beat Stanford this week.
All right. Well, you heard Brian go against me in Stanford, Quinn.
Hey, guys. The chat room's wanting you guys to have some kind of Red Bull, coffee, some energy drink. We need some pep out of you guys. I'm getting depressed over here. Let's go.
Well, you tell them people in the chat room, and it's been a hell of a week for me, and I'm just tired.
Hey, guys, you leave Brian alone. He's tired like I am, so ease up on it. All right, go ahead. My bad.
No pressure,
I'm going with Oregon State.
Oregon State. I want to know what the chat room thinks. Come on, where's my guys who are on the island with me who said Stanford too? Let's let Quinn have it on the message board for not going with Stanford with us. All right, so we'll move on. As you guys in the chat room lampoon the two guest speakers for not going with me. That's all I got to say. Number one game, number 15, Texas A&M at number one, Alabama. What do you got, Quinn? I'm going to put you on the spot. Go ahead and pick the upset. Come on.
Bama in a close one by a touchdown. I'm predicting 24-17.
All right. Well, close one. Yeah. What about Brian? Brian, you ready to pick against all of our Bammers?
No, I mean, I think if Texas A&M had a little bit better defense, I'd probably go with them. But I'm going to go with Alabama. I'm like Quinn. It's going to be really close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be anywhere from a 3-7 point game. So I'm going to pick Alabama in a squeaker.
All right, guys. Good picks. Tarvin, want to thank these guys for beating us. I know it seems kind of odd, but thanks for participating in our pick'em. Good picks, guys. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening. We'll see how you guys do this week.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for supporting the show and spread the word, guys. Spread the word.
All right.
Trey Patterson, man. You know what? I can't believe it, though. College basketball starts in a couple of days. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm ready for some college basketball.
Give me your preseason champion right now.
Oh, it's too early, Tarvin. I am still contemplating a lot of these teams. You look at some of the favorites. Kentucky, you know, looking good again this year with how they got revamped. Indiana with Zeller. It's hard to pick against them, but I'm not ready to pick a favorite just yet. But I will say, Tarvin, this is going to be, a really deep year for some. I think it's going to be more than just a couple of teams who are really good this year. I think you might have several teams bouncing around at number one this year. So we'll have to see, Tarvin. I think there's going to be multiple number one teams this year.
Well, Lacey, I agree with you. She's picking Kentucky. And did you watch the that show on ESPN about Kentucky? Went through their practices and showed Calipari.
Yeah, I saw that.
I love the way he coaches, man. I mean, he's a motivator. He's just straight up honest with these players. He knows how to pick the talent that fits his system best. It's hard to pick against them. As long as he's coaching and recruiting these top classes year in and year out, it's just hard to pick against Calipari. They might start off slow, but still win some of these games because they're just better. But as the season goes on, look for Kentucky just to be that dominant team like they were last year.
Yeah, look at Lacey in the chat room says that she was champion at a bar downtown. Lacey, I don't know if you want to be talking about being bar champions, but that she won a month of free beer. And I got to tell you, Tarvin, I could get behind a month of free beer.
A month of free beer. Man, that's a dream of mine. Month of free beer. Okay, chat room. What beer do you like? What's a beer of choice? Trey, what's yours? Milwaukee's best?
Pabst Blue Ribbon. No, for me, Tarvin, Brown Castle New Ale. Newcastle is just the brown. Oh, love the brown ale, Newcastle. And love some Texas Shiner Bock for those Texas listeners we have. You got some Shiner Bock down there. It's good stuff.
Well, I like Aquafina water. It just tastes so good. You know, that's what I like to drink when I'm stressed out, having a tough week. Some Aquafina water.
Well, that doesn't sound like a beer to me.
Well, Bud Light. Chris Miller says Bud Light. That's just like drinking water, isn't it?
Well, somebody in the chat room said that Smelly drinks Bush Light. So.
Smelly, is that true, man? Tell me it's not true. Tell me it ain't so. But anyway, it's been a great show as always, and we've had a lot of fun tonight. And hopefully, in the next week or so, we'll be staff picked again. We're gonna have a big show Sunday night. So tell everyone you can about our show. We're gonna jam the pack or the chat room this time. We want to pack it out. We're trying to get 100 people in the chat room at one time, and that doesn't mean live listeners. We usually have a lot more than that, but the chat room is where I want to see grow. We have a great chat room right now, a lot of great characters in here that knows the game of football. So spread the word, and let's grow it. But get the good people on here that know football, not the people that like to start trouble all the time and only supports their team and doesn't talk anybody else. So tell everybody. Smelly, Lacey, Sonia, Jason, all of you guys that know people, get them in this chat room. Quinn, I know you have some high school kids up there in Wisconsin that can come, so spread the word. Trey, anything in closing tonight before we go?
No, I know we haven't talked a whole lot about the NBA, but, you know, we're getting closer to talking about the NBA as the season progresses. I will tell you the one thing I have on the NBA is sort of and we haven't predicted what we think is going to happen yet. And we'll have to do that pretty soon. We keep talking about, you know, getting to it. But the one thing I will tell you of my picks so far is I'm going to tell you that the Brooklyn Nets are the most overrated team coming into the NBA this year. And that's just a precursor to my NBA talk.
Who did you say?
The Brooklyn Nets, overrated.
Oh, 3-0. Yeah, they're 1-1. I think they're playing tonight. But any surprises out there? We know the Lakers are 1-3. They're playing tonight against Utah. San Antonio, again, 4-0 in the regular season. It's just something about this team. They know how to win in the regular season. One surprising thing that happened the other night, the Hawks went on the road and just killed Oklahoma City, I believe. So, you know, and also Harden, Trey, what do you think about right now? He's at the Rockets just blowing up right now. He looks like an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Harden's going to have a really good year. I mean, the thing is Harden was always the sort of different tempo to Westbrook, and they really couldn't work out a good situation when Westbrook was on the floor because they're kind of very similar players. I think the trade is a terrible trade for the Thunder. I know that it came down to cap room and money issues. So it's unfortunate for the Thunder, who aren't a big market team. They had to do that. But I don't think the Thunder are going to be anywhere near what they were last year without Harden. I know Kevin Martin is a good player, and he's putting up pretty good numbers, but it's not going to be the same as having Harden. I think, you know, you're talking about surprises, Tarvin, other than the fact that, you know, the Lakers are struggling, which to me isn't such a surprise. They're down to Utah right now. And what Brooklyn actually got blown out by the Heat today, 103-73, which I think is about right. I think Brooklyn overrated. They're going to gel that well. Those players don't seem to complement each other all that greatly. I think they'll make the playoffs, sure, Tarvin, but I don't think Brooklyn's going to be a team competing in the East for the championship.
And what about a bust? Andrew Bynum, I mean, traded from the Lakers, and now he's not even playing. His knee's hurt. I mean, that's a bust, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, Tarvin.
Yeah, so the NBA is fine. I mean, honestly, and Trey can attest to this. I used to hate the NBA. I used to not watch it until I started playing fantasy basketball, and I haven't played that in a while, but you start digging in. But I like the NBA now. It's back. I mean, the commissioner has done a good job, Trey, of getting the NBA back to where it needs to be. I remember one stretch, it just sucked watching NBA. So college basketball's back. NBA's going strong. We've got, you know, college football heating up. NFL's heating up. So it's a, if you're a sports fan, now is the time to watch sports and listen to our show.
Yeah, you know, another thing is, you know, San Antonio, you talked about them. They're playing the Clippers tonight, which is a really good game for, if you're watching very, very early in the game. But, you know, San Antonio, again, undefeated, looking really great. They seem to do it every year. Tim Duncan looking even, I mean, imaginable how good he's playing right now as being as old as he is. So, you know, San Antonio seems to start very strong and then rest their veterans, which seems to be a very good game plan. So we'll have to see if that works out for San Antonio. I think a lot of people aren't giving them the credit they're going to have by the end of this year. They're going to be up there in the top of the seed, I think, again.
You think Tony Parker divorcing Eva Longoria helped his game or hurt it?
I think, I'll be honest, I think the drama that came with her and jettisoning her drama is going to help his game, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I mean, I wouldn't care how my game was in the NBA, though. That I wouldn't really care like he didn't. So it's kind of hard to be focused when you're married, especially to someone like that, I bet.
Well, Smelly said he's going to a Spurs game this year. So, Smelly, that's pretty cool. You have to let us know how that goes. Maybe you could you can give us some live impressions of them from the court side or wherever you're going to be sitting. So very interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, and Lacey said that Sanchez is with Eva Longoria. Now, I won't say exactly what she said, but it sounds like Mark Sanchez is with Eva Longoria. She's destroying another career right now. So, hey, there's a new guy. There's a TWX072012 in the chat room. Who are you, if you don't mind? If you're with the station, let us know. Great to have you. Also, Jonathan is in the chat room with us. Thanks for coming on. I think I've seen him before, but he's been picking games with us now. So keep coming to our chat room, man. We love to have you. Smelly's here as usual. Lacey and Tino, we had all the regulars tonight. So let's grow this thing and let's get some more Auburn fans in here. Tino, what do you say, bud? These Alabama fans are hurting us. So anyway, Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. And also, Trey, the Twitter account, let's get that Twitter account blown up again. It's @WayInSports. Go follow us on Twitter. Please do that right now as you're listening. Just log into Twitter @WayInSports. Also, go to Facebook, and we have a Weigh-In Sports Talk group, and we have a page. Go to Facebook and like our page. We are about to get our website going. It's in construction. I know I said that before, but we had to stop it. So soon, I think you can come to our website without having to go in, you know, to Blog Talk Radio if you don't want to. And you can go right to our show. We'll have a lot of updates. And it'll be hopping, Trey, this one. I'm going to make sure we keep it up very nice.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely, Tarvin. Yeah. And I want to give a thanks out on the air to Jason Humphreys, who very active on our Twitter account, always retweets stuff from us. And thanks, Jason, for being so active on Twitter for us. Give some of our other guys, Joshua Shaw, you know, obviously great pick'em. He you can find him on Twitter @JoshSHW. Hit him up as well, and I want to give some credit to you guys who hit us up on Twitter all the time as well.
Yeah, and go to Facebook as well and look us up, Weigh-In Sports. And, you know, if you have any questions, anything, you know, anything you want to talk about in the show, hit us up. I mean, there's so many ways to contact us. And Blog Talk Radio, real quick, before we go, if you're looking to start a radio show or you know somebody that is, get in touch with me. I'll get you hooked up with Blog Talk Radio. They're great to work with. These guys really care about your show. They want to see it succeed, and they'll do whatever they can to help it. So let me know and tell them if you sign up that I referred you. I don't get money or anything, but I want to spread the love. So, everybody, thanks for coming out again tonight. You guys did great. And Sunday night, I want to hear everybody come back. I want to see you step up and crown me winner again. And I think I'll win again. Tino's upset because we stopped paying attention to him, Trey.
Yeah, I do want to give Jonathan Miklos some love, too. His Twitter account is @JEMiklos, MiCKLOS. He's a good Twitter account as well. Always interacts with us on Weigh-In Sports on our Twitter feed as well. So And then there's some other Twitter handles that are going on in the chat room, which are pretty funny but aren't real. So thanks, guys, for listening. And thanks for participating on our Twitter account and Facebook page.
All right, guys. Lacey, get to feeling better. Get some rest. And everybody else, we will see you Sunday night. Have a great weekend and be safe.
Woo!